I'm continually amazed at what Yahweh shows me. In the depths of despair and as Paul put it perfectly, he said, Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And we certainly live in a body of death. But he changes that. He has brought us out. And continually, he has to pull me out of that body of death. We were reading the scripture this morning, and he showed me something else. It's wonderful. In Exodus 36 and verse 13, it says, "And he made 50 clasps of gold and coupled the curtain to one another with the clasps, that it might be one." That it might be one tabernacle. And hallelujah. I mean, who's the tabernacle today? Are we not the tabernacle? Are we not the living stones that make up the temple, the tabernacle? Here, back in Exodus, Yahweh is pulling together all the pieces from the donations from all of the Israelites there to make one tabernacle. Even as he has sent his Messiah, that we might be one. Hallelujah. He is amazing. Well, my talk today, I've entitled, "Knowing Yahweh is Knowing His Name." And what I want to say is this. He is our leader, our protector, our rescuer, our higher power, our mighty one, who protects us all from harm. He is deserving of praise and all thanks for what he has done for us. Does he not punish the wicked and lift up the humble and valiant among us? When an enemy threatens to harm us, he steps in and gathers strong ones to fend off that evil. He brings peace, and do we know how or why he does it? Who am I talking about? Did I tell you? Saw him on the news last night. Of course, I'm talking about President Bush. Right? After all, isn't he our leader? Isn't it his job to protect and rescue us from foreign enemies? Doesn't he have a higher power than our own? Is he not a mighty individual who swore an oath to protect us all from harm, both foreign and domestic? Isn't he deserving of praise and thanks for what he does for us? Does he not punish the wicked and lift up the humble and valiant among us? When an enemy threatens to harm us, does he not step in and gather trained armed forces to fend off that evil? Does he not bring peace to our nation? And do we really know how, or even why, he does it? The point I'm trying to make here is not an ad for Bush, okay? But do we really know President Bush? It's interesting. One of the questions on the mental status examination to determine one's orientation to reality that mental health professionals give to individuals suspected of having psychotic or delusional problems is, who is the president? Along with, what year is it and what is your name? To determine one's orientation to reality. Do you see the implication in this? Let me summarize it for you. If you don't know who the President of the United States is, you must be crazy. Okay. That's a summary. Well, maybe not. I mean, I was trying to remember this morning what the President's first and middle name was, but I couldn't. Was it Herbert W. or... No one knows. Okay. And which president am I talking about? Am I talking about the one we have now or the one who was his father? Maybe I'm only two-thirds crazy since I can remember his last name. Or maybe I'm a product of the cultural influence of this assembly in which we do not invest our lives in political clamor. Can we really know what President Bush thinks, what he believes, how he sees his people, what he has done in his life, or especially what he will do in his life? I don't think so. But let's take this to a higher realm, okay, please. Could it possibly be true, if we don't know the name of our Heavenly Father, that we are at least disoriented to reality? In psychology, not knowing the president's name is part of the test for psychosis. Can we say that if we don't know the name of the one who created us, that we have a spiritual psychosis? Or at least a thought or mood disorder? If we don't know or understand Yahweh, are we living in a made-up world? Yes. We are living in a made-up world if we don't know the name of our Father, our Creator. There's an old saying in the profession of mental health. People with neuroses build castles in the sky. And people with psychoses live in them. Technically, there is no longer such thing as a neurosis, having been broken down into categories such as thought or mood disorders. But seriously, this is a problem, not just mentally or emotionally, but spiritually as well, because it is generally recognized that there is actually a purpose for one's psychosis, and to a lesser degree, a purpose for one's thought or mood disorder. That is, people become psychotic for a number of reasons, not excluding a biological predisposition. It has been said that one of the foundations of psychotic thinking is a need to escape from the reality of the hardships and abuses that this world affords. This becomes even more apparent when we consider that there are made-up religions that actually think they are going to a castle in the sky. How purposeful is it to believe that all of your sins, past, present, and the future ones you're going to commit, are forgiven? That once I am saved, I am always saved, no matter what. How relieving is it to believe that before things get really bad, we will be raptured into heaven? How easy is it to believe that all I have to do to obtain this salvation is to believe in a contrived name of an individual who was rubbed with oil? And I'm sorry. For those of you who are listening to my words and may be offended by that last sentence, but bear with me, for I'm simply speaking the truth. The name Jesus is false. Whether intended to be so, or through the transliterations of four languages and 2,000 years in time, no matter how it came to be, Jesus is still not the name that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary. The name that was given, whether pronounced in Hebrew or any other language, is Yahshua. And the title Christ is not the title bestowed upon Yahweh's Messiah. Christ means anointed or rubbed in oil, rubbed with oil. To anoint in Hebrew is limshoach, the verb used by Yahweh to set apart or consecrate something or person for a specific and sacred purpose. The showbread, for example, was called Moshukim. Hamashakah oil was poured on Aaron's head to consecrate him to Yahweh as the high priest. Hamashiach, which is transliterated Messiah in English, does not mean simply to be rubbed with oil. Hamashiach is the designation by Yahweh for his son, Yahshua, who Yahweh offered as the propitiation, the payment for our sins, that we may have eternal life and live in His kingdom. Where is that kingdom now? And where will it go? In Luke 11, verse 2, we read where it is now and where it's coming. Luke 11, verse 2 says, "And he," being Yahshua, "and he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed," or consecrated, sacred, "be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." What has been consecrated? His name. Where is that kingdom now? In heaven. Where will the kingdom come to? To us, here on earth. What can exist only in heaven? Only righteousness. So what will the kingdom of Yahweh bring to us? Righteousness. Is that really true? If you turn to Revelation in chapter 11 and verse 15, we'll find out. Revelation 11 and verse 15 says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our sovereign and his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever." Where did Yahshua say he shall reign? Forever and ever? In the kingdoms of this world. Revelation 15 and verse 2 says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of Elohim, they sing." Actually, they sing two songs. "They sing the song of Moses," you know, the one to whom the law of Yahweh was given, that we might live. "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb being Yahweh's son, Yahshua, whom Yahweh set apart as a propitiation for sins. They sing the songs of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Yahweh El Shaddai. Just and true are your ways, O King of the righteous ones. Who shall not fear you, O Yahweh, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Now it says have been manifested, present tense, but this is a future event that is given to John. So John is seeing that these things have come to pass. They have not yet. Whose name are we to glorify? By our obedience to Yahweh's law. Who alone is holy? Yahweh. Who has many titles. He is our creator, our healer, our rock, our salvation, our King, and our eternal Father when we become born from above. And Yahweh has given over to His Son all that belongs to Yahweh. Why? To glorify the name of Yahweh. Who shall come before Yahweh to worship Him? All nations. And who are these nations? Well, the Greek word ethne has the same definition as the Hebrew word goyim. Nations means peoples, Gentiles, heathens, or tribes. In other words, every living person. Emphasis on living. Now, while studying last week's reading, John 17, I was deeply impressed by a number of verses. If you would turn to John 17 and verse 11. John 17 and verse 11 begins. And this is Yahshua speaking. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, speaking of his disciples. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep through what? Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as whom? As we are. Yahshua is a separate entity to Yahweh. Yahshua is Yahweh's son. And he speaks in plural words. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them, how? In your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except Judas. How amazing are these verses? And how amazing is it that Yahshua equates oneness or unity with himself, Yahweh, and us by the phrase, I kept them in your name. So how do we achieve this union with the Father and the Son? By keeping the name of Yahweh. What does keep mean? You don't have to go here, but in Genesis 2 and verse 15 it says, and Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Keep is the Hebrew word 8104, shamar, which means to hedge about as with thorns. That is, to guard, to protect, attend to, be circumspect, take heed to oneself, mark, look narrowly, observe, preserve, regard, and reserve. We are to guard the name of Yahweh. We are to protect the name of Yahweh. We are to attend to the name of Yahweh. We are to be circumspect about the name of Yahweh and take heed to ourselves with the name of Yahweh. We are to mark the name of Yahweh. We are to look narrowly on the name of Yahweh. We are to observe the name of Yahweh. And we are to preserve the name of Yahweh. We are to regard the name of Yahweh, and we are to reserve the name of Yahweh. Did Yahshua not guard, preserve, regard, and reserve the name of Yahweh? Indeed, he did. But for what purpose? Back to John 17, verse 20. Yahshua says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, listen now, and will declare it so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Can you grasp the magnitude of the importance of keeping the name of Yahweh? The name of Yahweh is at the very core of our salvation. Yahshua makes it clear that he wants us to honor his Father's name. Why? So that we can receive the love of the Father in exactly the same manner that Yahshua received the love of Yahweh. Yahweh raised his son, Yahshua, from the grave. Yahshua was beaten, tortured, whipped, and nailed to a tree, a stake, upon which he was pierced through with a spear to prove he was dead. He lay in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And he was resurrected from the grave, raised to heaven as the first fruit of Yahweh's salvation. Then Yahshua returned to the earth to present himself to those who believed on him. Yahshua, by giving his chosen ones the name of Yahweh, is calling to us, come, follow me, obey my Father's law, call upon his name, honor his Sabbath, put away your anger, give yourselves to the afflictions of this world. Carry your burden as I have carried mine to the death. And I will speak in your behalf at the time of the judgment. I long to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your sovereign. How important is it to know Yahweh? If you would open your scriptures to Psalms and chapter 79. Psalm 79. How important is it to know Yahweh? I can't read this without imagining that David was prostrate, that he was on the ground praying to Yahweh with tears, saying, how long, Yahweh? Will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. And if you can look around you in your lives, you can see how low we have been brought in this nation. Verse 9, help us, O Elohim, of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us, and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Isaiah, in chapter 64, and verse 6, says, in chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 7. O Yahweh, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you. O the hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night? Why should you be like a man astonished, like a mighty one who cannot save? Yet you, O Yahweh, are in our midst, and we are called, how? By your name. How important is the name of Yahweh? Ezekiel 20, verse 13. Ezekiel 20 and verse 13 says, yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, so that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths. For their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers. Do not observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I am Yahweh Elohikim. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. In that same chapter, in verse 39, as for you, O house of Israel, thus says the sovereign Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, go, serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name no more, with your gifts and your idols. Don't bring me gifts, he says, if you're going to bow down to others, to other idols, and do things that are not in my will. Verse 40, for on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, says the sovereign Yahweh, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, shall serve me. There I will accept them, and there I will require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifices, together with your holy things. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from where? From the peoples. After the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. Meaning, what does it mean, the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled? It means that we have learned the name of Yahweh and have brought ourselves under His law. Verse 41, I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I raised my hand in an oath to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your doings with which you were defiled. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight because of all the evils that you have committed. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, says the sovereign Yahweh. How is the name of Yahweh profaned? I mean, other than by gifts and idols? For sure, it is profane to use His name as a curse made in anger towards someone. But I could make a very good case for cursing someone even without using His name. For it is an offense to Yahweh to be angry with another, even if that anger is not spoken. Jeremiah 23 and verse 25. Jeremiah 23 and 25 says, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget what? Who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, just like their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Baal? Who is Baal? Baal is the name of Satan, essentially. Baal means Lord, or Master, or Husband, as in Baal Peor, which means Lord of the Opening. Baal-zebub means Lord of the Flies. What are flies the master of? Filth, dung, and decay. As Yahshua said, when accused of being an agent of Baal-zebub, in Matthew 12:27, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Yahweh, surely the kingdom of Yahweh has come upon you. And in the book of John, chapter 10, in verse 24, it says, John 10:24 says, "Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Yahshua answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one.'" We all want to be one with the Father and the Son. Well, shall we pray in unison to Yahweh in the name of Yahshua? I invite you to rise with me and let us pray as one, united in our bond with Yahshua, to honor our Father in heaven as written in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, which art in heaven, please speak with me. Let's pray together as one. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and hallelujah. And hallelujah. Please remain standing. I have just two short verses for you. The first is that which follows that prayer in Matthew 6:14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And in Numbers 6, verse 24, it says, "Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And finally, verse 27, in which Yahweh is speaking to Moses, "In this manner shall you put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So may it be so in the name of Yahshua.